now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome in. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. This episode is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey and my good people over at Coffee and Kush. Shouts out to Greenwood Whiskey. I see what you're doing out here in these streets, man, and they are up to big things. Greenwood Whiskey will be coming to you if you are in Georgia very, very soon. Shouts out to my people over at Greenwood Whiskey. Get you some, enjoy it, and thank me later. This episode of the Commissioner's Conversation, this is the quarterback edition. You know what I'm saying? This is the time where we start talking about quarterbacks. We're going to look ahead to teams who may need a quarterback next season. We're going to look to teams that may have found their quarterbacks this season. And we're going to talk about some of those quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So, we're going to talk about the quarterbacks. This is the quarterback edition of the Commissioner's Conversation. Before we get started, though, with the quarterback edition, I'd like to just talk about an incident that happened at LSU. We all know that we've celebrated that Joe Biden is basically the president-elect. It's not a done deal, but the people have spoken, and the people elected Joe Biden as president of the United States. And there were a lot of people who were super excited and ecstatic and looking forward to change in terms of our race relations, our police relations, and the overall environment of how we treat one another in this country. And over the weekend, a young man, LSU wide receiver, I think he's a freshman, Coy Moore, released a statement, I think it was Sunday, basically saying where the police harassed him and drew guns on him. And if he didn't say, if he hadn't have told them that he was the LSU wide receiver, that he doesn't know what would have happened. He felt for his safety. He felt like his life was in danger. He said the police violated him multiple times, saying that the police tried to unzip his pants, talking about, "Where's your gun?" Assuming that he had a gun and drugs on him at the time. And this is some of the things that the athletes before, during, and even throughout the pandemic have spoken about. This is some of the treatment that they've tried to highlight that we as black people know what's going on. But if you're not black, a lot of times you don't know this stuff goes on, so that you kind of dismiss it. And now with social media and now with camera phones and things like that, a lot of people are able to see the treatment, the abuse, and you can't deny it. So while we celebrate that it could be time for a change, time for to make this turn on how we treat people, we also need to focus on the people and get rid of the people who are holding us back in terms of that change. These officers are holding us back in terms of that change. These officers are on paid leave. Baton Rouge Police Department has basically said that they are going to put them on paid leave until the investigation is finished. The young man, Moore, basically said that the police took his camera, took his phone away as he tried to record the incident and what was taking place. They snatched the phone out of his hand, is what he basically said. So, like I said, he tried to record the incident. The police snatched the phone. The police have since been put on leave, paid. Ed Orgeron, LSU, even Baton Rouge, everybody's putting, the city of Baton Rouge have put out statements regarding this incident and have expressed that they want to get to the bottom of it. Now, I don't always, when you look at some of these statements and how they're worded, it's always worded kind of funny because they want to protect a lot of their own and they want you to feel like that some sort of action is going to be taking place. But I encourage you to read what came from the Baton Rouge Police Department. I encourage you to read the statements from the LSU side of things. I encourage you to listen to and or read what came from Ed Orgeron, the head coach of the LSU Tigers. Now, on that note, I want to shift gears and get back into the quarterback edition of the Commissioner's Conversation. Once again, I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. I thank you for joining me this evening. So, if you're paying attention, this season and any other season, basically, the prime spot, the prime position in football is basically going to be your quarterback position. Most teams, GMs, people who are predicting, you know, prognosticators, people who think they're experts at sports, everyone will always tell you that 9 times out of 10, a successful team will have a successful quarterback. A quarterback who can handle himself, who can compose himself, who can lead a team, who can basically handle the pressure, who can take some hits. You have to be tough. You have to be smart. You know, you have to have the capability to take 51 other guys and have them believe in you and have them believe that they can win because they have you on their side. You know, it's good to know that if we're down 3 and it's a minute left, that I have a quarterback that can drive the ball down the field and get us a score, get us 6 points on the board so that we can win the game. Yes, it's nice to know that you have a great wide receiver. It's nice to know that you have a good running back. But those guys are typically dependent upon the quarterback. So I started thinking to myself, basically, who are the teams that are going to need quarterbacks? And there's a lot of them. When you first think about it, you're like, man, everybody in the league seems to be straight. There's only about a couple of teams who need quarterbacks. But there's more than you would believe. So what I want to do, I want to start off talking about the teams that are set at QB. Like, it's a done daughter. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to focus on whatever else is going on. Green Bay, you got Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to worry about it. I believe Aaron has a couple more years left in him. You know what I'm saying? Seattle, Russ is good. You don't have to worry about him. You need to focus on getting some defensive pieces so that someone can make some stops to help get more wins. But Russ is cooking. The Chiefs are good with Pat Mahomes, man. It's over. They have their quarterback. They basically gave the man a lifetime contract, fully guaranteed. We'll pay you as long as you're standing upright and you can throw a football. So from there, those are the teams who I say are set at QB. Like, they would go into the draft focusing on something other than the quarterback position. From there, you have your emerging young QBs. You have a long list, and this is where everybody starts to get twisted. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone thinks, oh, they have a young QB, so there's no way they'd be looking for a quarterback. Not always true. But here's some teams that have young QBs that are up and coming, and they look like they could be emerging stars. Arizona with Kyler Murray looks like an emerging star. I'm coming around a little bit slowly. I need to see more. Miami, Tua Tagovailoa, I've only seen two games. The young man looks like he could be, he has star potential, but he still looks like the game around him is going 150 miles an hour, and he has to slow it down in his mind. The game has to slow down around him for him to actually use all the tools that everyone's been telling me he has and be great. But he has star potential. Justin Herbert, I talked about Justin Herbert on here before. I didn't see this at Oregon, but the man came fresh out the box ready. The trainer messed up, stuck Tyrod Taylor in the lung instead of the rib. They gave Justin Herbert 2 seconds to get prepared for the game, and he went out and he balled. It hasn't translated over to a lot of wins just yet, I will say that. But you can look at him and tell that he is an NFL quarterback and will be for a long time. Deshaun Watson at Houston, another young man that needs some help. Lamar Jackson is another young man that needs to slow down. Even though his game won him the MVP last season, he's another young man who has to slow down mentally and also tighten up in the pocket. And he'll go, sky's the limit for Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is looking pretty good for Cincinnati. I'm not sold on Baker. I'm just not. I don't think Baker is the answer. But for right now, Cleveland believes that Baker may be their answer, so they probably won't be looking for a quarterback. But I will say I'm not sold on Baker, even though I have him in this category as emerging young quarterbacks. I also have Carson Wentz from the Eagles. I have Jared Goff from the Rams. Those two guys, they're not exempt from being replaced. I'll say that. They're not exempt from being replaced. Poor play and injuries will oftentimes have someone trying to put someone else in your spot. We'll have the coach trying to replace you. And Buffalo, Josh Allen is looking like he's a franchise QB. They have pieces around them. He's making some mistakes, but he's not killing the Bills. He's not costing them games. And he's actually, some of his play is winning them games. So he's doing what he has to do. He's showing some athleticism. He's scoring on some runs. He's scoring with his arm. And he's looking like a damn good quarterback. Now that we have those teams out of the way, let's talk about teams that are actually going to need quarterbacks. And you're like, damn, you didn't mention but so many teams. Yes, I know. Because once we go through this list about the teams that actually probably need quarterbacks, you'll agree with me. Starting first, the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, I know they have Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you've been watching this season, you know that Jimmy G hasn't been available, and Jimmy G has been making some very, very bad mistakes. So, yes, San Francisco may be on the prowl for a QB. The New Orleans Saints. I know, I see your eyes rolling, everybody like, oh, here you go. Here go the Falcon fan, crapping on the Saints. Listen to me. Drew Brees is out the door. What do you mean Drew Brees is out the door? Drew Brees has already, he signed a contract with, I believe, NBC before this season started. So he's leaving to do TV. This is the year. You have to find a QB. You have to figure out if Jameis is it, Taysom Hill is it, if someone else is going to fill in that role. But Drew Brees, he's about to get up out of there. It's been real New Orleans. Jacksonville, come on, for real. They need a quarterback. Washington gave up on the kid, Dwayne Haskins. Kyle Allen seems to get hurt every game they put him in. and it results in the fact that they have to put in Alex Smith the past few weeks. Washington needs a name and a quarterback. The Giants, Danny Dimes, and it. Carolina Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater is a band-aid for now. I think he's just that. He's a bridge. You know, I think you may keep him this year. I mean, of course, you're going to keep him this year, but you may keep him next season also while you're looking for your next quarterback, your next franchise QB. I don't believe that Carolina is looking at Teddy Bridgewater as the long-term answer. The Colts. Rivers hadn't been looking very good at all. The Colts have been a fairly decent team, almost despite Phillip Rivers. So, he's an old quarterback. I don't believe he'll play much beyond this season. If he plays next season at all. But the Colts have a quarterback issue. They have Jacoby Brissett, but I don't know how much faith they have in him. I don't know if they think he's the answer, because if they thought he was the answer, they wouldn't have brought in Phillip Rivers. The Jets are in the prime seat. The Jets haven't won a game this season. They're the number one contender for Tank for Trevor. And they appear to... They need a quarterback. Sam Darnold has been injured. You got Joe Flacco coming behind them. Joe Flacco had some flashes yesterday, but he also had some Flacco moments yesterday. Dallas, listen, I know Jerry just went on the radio. I believe it was on a radio station in Dallas. They asked him if he's still looking for his next quarterback. He giggled. He said, Dak is my guy. He gave him the kiss of death. I mean, honestly, Dallas has a position to where if everything shakes out and if Justin Fields is there or if Trey Lyles is there, if there's a quarterback that they feel that is pretty good that they can either groom or they can insert immediately for the cheap, you best believe that Dallas would go for that quarterback. Because Dak is wanting money, and Dallas don't want to pay the money. And if they can find a cheap quarterback that's equal to or somewhere equivalent to Dak, they'll put him in, and they'll kick Dak to the curb. Denver, Drew Lock is looking okay. An emphasis on okay. I don't think he's very good. They got a win. I mean, they lost to the Falcons this week. But, he's not the guy. And I talked about old quarterbacks. I'm going to bring in this category, aging QBs, because these aging QBs, what you're probably going to do is if you're not looking today, you're going to be looking in the near future for a quarterback. Pittsburgh. Big Ben getting old, man. Big Ben even made the comment that I think he said he called himself Ben Breeze. Meaning, he hit those short routes, he hit those short routes, and every now and then he'll stretch it down the field to try to hit it deep because he doesn't have the gun anymore to keep firing it down the field 20 times a game. You got to pick and choose a spot. So Big Ben is getting old. Atlanta, Matt Ryan. Just being here in Atlanta, there's a lot of rumors that are swirling anyway. You know, whether the team should be tanking, trying to get one of the young quarterbacks in the draft, and trying to make a trade and offload Matt Ryan to San Francisco or the Jets wouldn't take him because they're in the prime seat to get Trevor. But anywhere, there are the rumors that are out there for Atlanta. And Matt has said that he would love to retire in Atlanta. I don't know how likely that is. I put Derek Carr here. While he's not very old, I don't believe he's very young. And I also believe that John Gruden, while they're coming together and they're finding pretty decent chemistry, I believe John Gruden would definitely like to find another quarterback that he can come in, he can bring in, he can groom. And so Derek Carr, I don't think his job is safe. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, you know, Tom is Tom. I think he may have 2 years after this. They're going to be looking for a QB. They should be looking for a QB right now, just so someone they can make a transition. Detroit, Matt Stafford. Matt's getting banged up. He's getting a little long in the tooth. I don't believe Detroit is going – well, I do believe they're going to be looking for a quarterback coming up very soon. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, while he has a guaranteed contract, if Minnesota gets the chance to unload his contract to some other team, be it Jacksonville or someone else that comes up short in the QB sweepstakes, I believe they would gladly do it, and they'll be searching for another quarterback. Tennessee, I don't know. I don't believe that they have all the faith in the world in Ryan Tannehill. I think he's a serviceable guy who's here for the moment right now. And that's about it. He's here for the moment right now. And we're not asking him to do a lot because we have a good running game. So if we're going through this, you know what I'm saying? If we're going through this, there are far more teams that need QBs than don't. A good quarterback is hard to find. So while we're sitting here and we're talking about a good quarterback being hard to find, let's talk about and shift focus over to NCAA football and talk about some of those quarterbacks and keep this thing rolling. Once again, this is the Commissioner's Conversation. I'm your host, Commissioner Gordon. Some of the big games this weekend, UGA got destroyed by Florida in the Georgia-Florida game. You know, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I still call it the cocktail party. They've changed it to something that doesn't indicate that we are standing out here drinking, but it's still the outdoor cocktail party. It started out well for UGA, but the difference just came down to, guess what? Quarterback play. UGA didn't have a QB that could make a play. And Kyle Trask, the quarterback for Florida, could, to the tune of 474 yards and 4 touchdowns. Notre Dame played a hell of a game against Clemson. I think if the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, was still there, then it might have swung to Clemson's favor. But Notre Dame pulled out a double overtime victory, 47-40. And the young kid for Clemson didn't play bad. DJ, I think it's Ugalele. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. He had 439 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. He didn't have any interceptions. But I just think he's just not ready for that type of game just yet. He's not that mature for that type of game just yet. But it's coming. You can see it's there. He's a good QB, and he's going to take Clemson pretty damn far as they compete in the ACC. He's just not there right now. And like I said, if Trevor Lawrence was there, I think Clemson wins that game. But they have the opportunity to meet sometime down the road in the ACC championship should they both continue on the path that they're projecting. I talked about Justin Fields earlier, man. 6 TDs against Rutgers. Yes, I know it was Rutgers. But he threw 6 touchdowns as they won 49-27. The man only threw 4 incomplete passes. And this is what I want you to like. When I talk about how good someone can be and how good someone is, I pay attention to these type numbers. 4 incomplete passes. He was 24 for 28. He threw for 314 yards. He threw for 5 touchdowns, and he ran a touchdown. So far this season, man, he's 86.7% passing. He's thrown 83 passes and completed 72 of them. I'll say that again for you. He's thrown 83 passes and 72 have hit the receiver in the chest. That means something out here. He has 908 yards, 11 touchdowns, and no interceptions through Ohio State's first 3 games. If you flip it over and you want to talk about Trevor, by comparison, is 135 for 191. He's thrown 191 passes. He's hit 135 of them, which comes to a total of 70.7%. 70.7%. He has 1,800 yards. He's thrown 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And that's through 5 games. So those are your 2 quarterbacks, you see what I'm saying, that are at the top of their field. Miami avoids an upset with NC State as they go through a 44-41 shootout. That was a game that was back and forth. Like, you score, I score, you score, I score, all the way down to the last minute. De'Aaron King, he had a hell of a game. He was 31 for 41, 430 yards. He had 5 touchdowns and also had 105 yards rushing. Now, I brought up De'Aaron King simply because I watched that Saturday. And then, like I said, the most exciting game that I've seen probably so far this season was Miami Dolphins against the Arizona Cardinals. Tua and Kyler Murray, they put on an excellent display of football. And De'Aaron King fit that mold to me in my mind. Like, people are calling him small. People are saying he's a shifty guy. They start to use those key words about him. And he fits that frame, that mold, that model of quarterback that those two guys fit into for me. Just in a comparison that I've made, I think he's 5'11", like right at 200 pounds. So that was some of the big games. And while I have you here in terms of NCAA football, I'll give you a little COVID update. Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID-19. He said he will not coach versus Florida this week, and he's self-isolating himself from the team in practices. Auburn has paused activities Tuesday, with 9 players and 3 staff members testing positive for COVID. So, we talked about the Notre Dame beating Clemson. After the Notre Dame game, the fans stormed the field. And everybody who watched it, because of the climate of today, immediately thought to themselves, oh, that's not safe. Look at all those people. You can just see the germs spread. And it's messed up that today we have to see such things, and kids can't celebrate a win. But that's the climate that we're in today. And so what did Notre Dame do? Notre Dame mandated COVID testing for every student. Every student has to go under. It's a mandatory COVID test. You have to take a test for every student, or else they threaten you with your registration. They're threatening you with registration. You could be put out of school, basically, for not getting a COVID test. LSU and Bama, I believe, is still up in the air. I think it's going to be either postponed, or they're just going to cancel the game altogether because multiple players have tested positive for LSU. So there's that. You know what I'm saying? There's your COVID update in terms of college football. Excuse me. let's switch this thing back over to the NFL. And while before we switch it back over to the NFL, we could play a little game that I call I Told You, My Bad. So, Reese Boogie, do me a favor. Hit that intro, baby.
It's time for...
First, to start off with the My Bad. I touched on this a little earlier. My bad. Tua Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, they may be better than I believe. Like I said, the jury is still out, but I'm willing to say, as of right now, they both look like ball players. I didn't think they were ball players. I didn't, for different reasons. You know what I'm saying? Both for different reasons. I thought Kyler was too small, and I thought that Tua being injured, both. So I said for different reasons, but essentially it sounds like the kind of the same reason. I didn't think they could take the pounding that the NFL D linemen, linebackers are going to give them on a consistent basis. So as of right now, I'm willing to go out and say, my bad. I may have to come around on the small QB and throw that theory out the window. Now, I told y'all. I will say I told y'all. Remember last week I was doing my projections and I was going through and I told you I was 6-8 on my picks. And I was sitting there like, man, I can do better picking these games. And I know a lot of these shows that you watch, these guys suck at picking. Like, they're terrible. I don't pick against the spread, I will say. But if you watch some of these shows on some of these networks, man, these dudes are trash. And you will wonder if they ever watch a game. But I said I should be better at my picks. And I know some of y'all rolled your eyes and were like, man, whatever. You better be happy with those six. So this week, my record was 9-6. 9 games right to 6 games wrong. And if you don't believe me, you can go back and check the tape. You know what I'm saying? That's how I do it. I go back and check the tape because sometimes I'll say it and I don't really remember who I picked. So I'm watching the game and in that moment, I say, oh, damn, who did I pick? Did I pick Buffalo to win? Damn, did I pick? And so I'm going back and I have to go back and listen and check. And that turns out, like I said, I was 9-6. So that concludes this week's I Told Y'all, My Bad. So let's look ahead to this week in football. In the NFL, well, before we look at this week in football, before we get to the NFL games, because I just want to hit real quick. NCAA football games to watch this week. You got Ohio State. You got Maryland. That's important because Justin Fields won. And Tua Tagovailoa, I hope I got that better than I did last week. I butchered that young man's name last week. Tua Tagovailoa, Tua's brother. The man has been on fire. He's been looking great. USC at Southern Cal is out in Arizona. That should be a pretty decent game. Be on the lookout for that because I think it's a 12 o'clock Eastern time game, meaning they're playing at 9 o'clock on the West Coast. I thought I saw that somewhere. Don't quote me on that, but I believe I saw that. Bama and LSU, like I said, is up in the air. We don't know if they're going to actually play the game. So be on the lookout for if they're going to play the game in the future, you know, or are they just going to scrap the game all together because LSU stinks and we just chalk this up as a victory for good old Bama and project them into the SEC championship. Wisconsin and Michigan, number 13, Wisconsin is at the Big House. they're going to take on Michigan, and Michigan is a team that we talked about that needs, like I talked about with Georgia, they need a playmaking quarterback. I don't know if you've noticed a theme here, but Michigan needs a playmaking quarterback. They haven't had one in the Jim Harbaugh era, and I assume that that's what he was going to bring, like innovation on offense. And I thought that quarterbacks would flock to him, being a Michigan man and being from that area and bringing in that pedigree from San Francisco. I thought he would do better, but apparently he's not very popular among the QBs, or it could just be that nobody really wants to go to Michigan. I don't know, but we'll see how Michigan can respond to Wisconsin in at home in the Big House. Now, like I said, let's fast forward to the NFL and what this week is going to bring, and I will give you my predictions. So, we start off on Thursday, Titans and Colts. I told you earlier that I don't believe that the Colts are a very good team despite their 5-3 record. I like Tennessee. Tennessee controls the game by running the ball, by playing great defense, and I think they're going to force Phillip Rivers into some turnovers. Give me Tennessee. That's the Thursday night football game. Sunday, Cleveland at Texas. I'm going to go out on a limb here because I don't believe in Cleveland. Like, Cleveland is a 5-3 team, but I believe that somewhere there's some pride in Houston, and it's going to work out that they're going to defeat the Cleveland Browns. The Washington football team is taking on the Detroit Lions. This is a tough one for me because watching both teams, like, I would have assumed that Washington, and I picked Washington last week to beat the Giants, and you would think that Washington, with the talent that they have on defense, would beat the Giants, but they did not. So with that, I'm going to say, I'm going to say Detroit. I'm going to stick with Detroit. I don't believe in Washington. I can't force myself to, even though I don't know. We don't know what's going on. I think Matt Stafford was concussed last game. I'm assuming that he's going to run through protocol and he's going to be able to suit up. But even if not, man, I don't trust Washington further than I can throw. Green Bay takes on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Give me Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. The Eagles are taking on the Giants. I don't believe the Giants get another victory this week. Give me the Eagles. Tampa Bay are coming off that terrible loss to the New Orleans Saints. And they have the Carolina Panthers this week. Carolina is on a losing streak. I think they've lost 4 in a row. It continues because Tom Brady is mad as hell, and they're going to go into Carolina ready to prove that they're still the team in the NFC South like everyone thought they were. The Broncos taking on the Raiders. I'll take Jimmy John Gruden's game. I'll take the Raiders. The Chargers and the Dolphins. This is a good game, man. Once again, if you're talking about quarterbacks, this is Tua Tagovailoa taking on Justin Herbert. And while the Dolphins have had more productivity in terms of wins, I like Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is the better quarterback, but Miami may be the better team. So I'm taking Miami in this one. The Buffalo Bills are taking on the Arizona. Once again, we're talking hot. These are hot quarterback combos, man. The Bills against Arizona. I like Buffalo. I think if you take quarterbacks and you say both quarterbacks being equal, which I still believe they're not. I believe Josh Allen is better than Kyler Murray. To me, right now, I believe the Bills' defense puts them out in front of Arizona. Seattle Seahawks taking on the Rams. Give me Russ and that offense. And hopefully they can do some things to keep Jared Goff confused and at bay and continue to win that game. The 49ers are taking on the Saints. Like I said, the quarterback here is a mystery for the 49ers. Give me Drew Brees and the Saints, even though that hurts my teeth to say that. Cincinnati and the Steelers. The Steelers are 8-0. I don't see them falling to Cincinnati. I don't. The Ravens take on the Patriots. This should be an interesting matchup with Cam and Lamar. The Patriots don't have it right now. I believe the Ravens take that one. In Monday Night Football, the Bears and the Vikings. Right now, if you would have asked me, without looking at records, I'd say the Vikings, because the Vikings have gotten it cooking, no pun intended, with their running back Cook. I'm going with the Vikings. So there you have it. I'm taking the Vikings. I'm taking the Ravens. I'm taking the Steelers. I'm taking the Saints. I'm taking the Seahawks. I'm taking Buffalo. Miami. Las Vegas. Tampa Bay. Philadelphia. Green Bay. Detroit. Houston. And Tennessee. Well, that's our time, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. I thank you for tuning in. I thank my people at Greenwood Whiskey. I thank my people at Coffee and Kush. And I invite you to join me next week in the conversation. Well, we'll be talking more football. I think we'll start to focus more on the offseason, like whether the teams are doing playoff push, the teams that may be looking to draft players. I might sprinkle in some of the top names that will be coming into the draft outside of the quarterbacks. We know the quarterbacks. I may talk about a couple offensive linemen, a couple defensive linemen, a couple linebackers, corners, receivers, etc. Somebody that you can get your eye on that when you watch TV on Saturdays, that you can say, okay, I see what everyone else sees. He can be a good professional. So we'll project on that, unless something crazy comes up and we have to talk about that. So once again, though, I appreciate you for following through, jumping in the Commissioner's Conversation. I encourage you to follow me on Instagram @the.commissioner.gordon. @the.commissioner.gordon. I encourage you to follow me on Twitter @GRobinsonSports. @GRobinsonSports. I'm usually tweeting during the games, and you can kind of go back and forth. If I see something I like, I'll say it. If I see something that looks crazy, I'll say it. And we can chop it up there as well. But until next week, once again, I thank you for coming in to the Commissioner's Conversation. We'll holla.
Okay, bye.